Baptism can seem rather weird. It can seem rather strange. I don't know whether you've ever come across the word baptism. Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you've heard that some people are sprinkled with a little bit of water. Some people maybe are dunked under lots of water. So what is baptism? What is it? Well, it starts with a Greek word, actually, because the Bible, the New Testament, was written in Greek, which was the language of their time. And the word that they used was the word baptismo. And the word baptismo means this. This is what it meant when it was defined as a word. It means to wash, to dip, to immerse, to plunge under, or to submerge. And what's really interesting to me is that when Jesus was on the earth, when he was walking about as a man in Israel, it was a word that was used by the people that he mixed with. And the way that they would use it was like this. They would get some water in a big barrel, and they would put loads of dye into the barrel, because what they wanted to do was to change the color of some clothes that they were washing. And so they would get the garment, and they would get the garment, and they would put it into the barrel of water with the dye, and they would immerse it, they would submerge it into the water, and then as they brought it out, it would be a different color. And that was called baptismo. That's what the word meant, to dip the garment into that water. So how does that fit into this morning? How does that connect with what Caroline's going to be doing in the next 10 minutes or so? Well, Martin introduced this really well, because it's all about symbols. It's about pictures. And what we're going to watch in a minute is a picture. It's going to tell us something that has happened to Caroline. But what it's happened to Caroline has happened on the inside of her life. It's something that's gone on internally. So it's not always easy to understand what it means then when we say we're going to be baptized. But the picture is like this. This is what's going to happen, is that as you go into the water, and we go right into the water, and one of the reasons why we have lots of water is because of this reason, is that you have to go right under the water. It's like a watery grave. Because what it's saying is that it's saying that my old life is over. My old life is over. And the decision that I've made internally to follow Jesus, well, now I want to actually point in a different direction. And as you come out of the water, you're symbolizing the new life. And so the water is a picture of that change. So who gets baptized? Who are the people who get baptized? Well, there's an interesting verse in the book of Acts. The book of Acts has a verse that says this. In Acts chapter 2, it says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized. And Martin was talking about belief. I don't know what you believe in. I don't know if you believe in anything. But actually, a person who's being baptized is somebody who does believe. That's what Peter was saying to these people. The people who were listening to Peter, they believed what Peter said. And because they believed what Peter said, they were baptized. So what did Peter say? Well, you can read about it in Acts 2 if you want to go home and have a read. But let me give you a little bit of a summary. What Peter said was this. It's all about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's all about this man who lived on planet Earth. It's all about this man who was born of a Virgin Mary. It was all about this man who not only was born, but he grew up and he lived a perfect life. Not only did he live a perfect life, but this man went around doing good. And the way that he did good was that he healed the sick, he cast out the demons, and he raised the dead. He was a man who was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was a man who lived for about 3 years. And at the end of those 3 years, the people who were the religious people at the time didn't quite like him. In fact, they didn't like him very much at all. So they crucified him. They crucified him on a cross. But you know what? That wasn't the end of the story. Because we believe, and the people who were listening to Peter believe, that actually 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That for me is the deal clincher. Did he raise from the dead, or did he not raise from the dead? If he rose from the dead, it changes everything. That's what we believe as Christians. That's what Caroline believes. That's why we get baptized. We put our faith in this person. So the next question is, when? When do you get baptized? Well, the simple answer is, when you believe. If you believe, then you should get baptized. That's what the Bible says. But you know what? I love baptisms. It's my favorite occasion as church. Because baptism is a public declaration. And probably Caroline, out of all the baptisms that I've been involved in, Caroline is probably the most, I don't know what the word is, excited and invitational. And you know, all you people that are here who are friends and family, all you, most of you children that are here because Caroline's invited you to come and watch. It's a public thing that she wants to do. She didn't want to do it quietly. You know, she could have, you know, gone upstairs, run the bath, just done it quietly between her and God. Well, you don't do that with baptism. You might make the decision to believe as a Christian privately. It's a personal decision that you make. But actually, baptism is a public demonstration. It's saying to everybody in this room, and this is what Caroline wants to say to everybody, saying, actually, this picture is what's going on in my life. I'm publicly telling you now that I have decided to follow Jesus. I believe what he says. I believe who he is. That's what our faith is as Christians. So why do all this? Why go to all the trouble? Why has Caroline and her friends and family been spending the last few weeks gathering together as much equipment as they can for this street party, ringing up the council, doing all this stuff, inviting you, making sure that you're here? Why? Well, primarily I think it's because Jesus tells us to do it. A disciple, that's the word that we use for somebody who follows Jesus, is somebody who does what Jesus asks us to do. And he said this right at the end of his life. He said to Christians, that those who were following him, he said, go into the whole world. And when you go, what you need to do is you need to baptize people. So ever since that commandment, nearly 2,000 years ago, the followers of Jesus have been doing that. They've been baptizing different people who then become followers of Jesus. So baptism is this step of obedience, particularly for Caroline. It's a step to say, now this is the moment that I publicly want to say to everyone, I'm not a perfect person. I'm still going to make mistakes. Still going to make mistakes. Not going to change in that sense. But actually on the inside, something radically has changed. Something has changed in the way that I want to structure my life. Because I want to bring into my life this person called Jesus Christ. I can remember still the day that I got baptized. It was March 1984. And I remember it like it was yesterday. It was such an amazing occasion. And my prayer and my hope is that today will be one of those days that you will remember forever. The 20th of July, 2014, was the day that you, Caroline, made a public declaration to say that I am following Jesus. But I also hope that maybe some of you friends, some of you family, anyone who might be sat in this room hearing my voice, you would really think about seriously, what do you believe? Is it possible to believe in this person? and come and ask us some questions. We'd love to talk more with you. I know Caroline would and others would. Come and explore what Christianity is all about. Find out if it's worth believing in. Okay. Now is the moment. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a video on. Caroline's picked this music. It's music that she really likes. It's meaningful to her. We're going to just put a video on as well so you can watch some. And we're just going to get things ready here at the front. It's going to take us about 5 minutes. Once we've done that, we'll move into the next phase. Okay? Thanks.
There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to Jesus, who's a humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord, yeah.
Change, wasn't it? So, Caroline, do you want to come up to the front? And Jeanette, where's Jeanette? Okay. Could you just do a taking this one off? A couple of big guys could come and just take this where the steps are. That'd be great. There you go. Okay. So what's going to happen now is that Caroline is going to tell us a little bit of her story and just talk a little bit of what's been going on in her life.
Hi, everyone. A few people have asked me why I want to be baptized, especially, I guess, when I've been christened and confirmed. And that's such a good question. And put simply, I can explain it in four words. Very short for me, I know. Conviction in my faith. That conviction has given me the confidence to stand here today and publicly share my faith, something there is no way I could have done even a year ago. Faith is totally empowering, and I know this might sound cliched, but I can only tell you as I'm experiencing it, and also liberating in the fact that it has freed me to say things which I truly believe without the concern of looking stupid or being mocked. I think it dawned on me that I was free with Jesus when I was openly able to say that, because let's face it, in society generally, that's perceived as a pretty weird thing to say, or at least a bit out there. But hey, I've always fancied myself as a bit of a rebel. And in fact, I love the surprise in people when I tell them I'm getting baptized, if they've no idea I believed. That to me is conviction. Also, I've perceived it as a negative thing. I've always perceived it as a negative thing when people are described as Bible bashers, in the God squad, happy clappies, cappers. But call me any of those things, and that's great, because that is what I am, and I'm proud to be. It's taken me over 40 years, but I'm delighted that I'm in the God squad. Okay, back to the story. I went to the local church as a child, and it was in the choir for several years, which meant regular attendance. It was during this time I was christened and confirmed, and I did genuinely believe in God and in the vows I said. Can't remember what age I was, but as an older teenager, I left the choir there, and therefore my reason for going to church. As at this point, I wasn't excited by my faith and was distracted by other things, and that is how it was for the next 20 years. I would say I always believed in God, but left home, went to university, went travelling, met Jeff, got married, had children, I was pretty busy, and didn't give religion much thought, although I know it was always there. In Matthew 13, Jesus describes God's kingdom as a mustard seed. Tiny, but over the course of years, it grows and flourishes, and that is relevant to my faith. There have been several seeds sown that definitely have had a dose of miracle grow in them. And the first one was with living with Lisa, on the left, at university, who was a committed Christian. Now, I don't recall having any deep religious conversation with her during the years, and despite being very impressed with her biblical knowledge when watching 15 to 1, I never felt the urge to go to church, and she never pushed it. I know retrospectively it was just the way she was living her life, and seeing this always stayed with me. Okay. The other significant seed was in 2009 when I started working at the Welsh Refugee Council and met Biddy on the right, who was also teaching there. I liked her instantly, so genuine, and when she told me she was married to the local Methodist minister, that was very interesting to me. She was very unconventional and even wore a badge saying it. And I thought, wow, that's the sort of church I want to belong to. Last but certainly not least, the final seed was meeting Jeanette at the school gate, as again, I saw her wonderful qualities of sincerity and kindness. And it wasn't for ages that I realized she was a Christian, and I know God planned it that way. It was during 2011 that things really started to happen. During a night out with mums from school, I mentioned an interest in doing an Alpha course, which explores the meaning of life from a Christian perspective and invites questions. A couple of months later, my friend Jo came up to me in the playground and invited me to the next Alpha course, and both Jo and Jeanette came and supported me during the course. This was the start of my journey, and it's funny because when Jeanette mentioned about coming on a journey with me, I did get slightly freaked out. To non-Christians, this sounds weird, but it makes perfect sense to me now. I enjoyed the Alpha course, delicious food, and had a few questions answered, but I think what I got out of it the most was meeting Christians who didn't claim to have all the answers, but had taken a leap of faith and entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ and were in an ongoing process. They were also genuine. A guy put it like this: faith is like stepping onto a train. You don't know all the mechanics of how the train works, but you put your trust in it to get to where you want to go. That made sense to me. If I'm honest, I think I'd definitely be put off religion over the years as seeing it as things you couldn't do, as very judgmental and hypocritical at times, and not something I wanted to be part of. But here I was with like-minded people talking not about religion, but faith, and this felt good. I liked it even more when I went to Hall Baptist for the first time. It was lively and seemed full of people, genuinely wanted to be there, happy clappers, I guess. And I started attending Hall Baptist as regularly as the boys' rugby would allow. In 2012, we had a ladies' day in a church led by an amazing and inspirational lady called Lynn. During this day, a lady from church placed into my hand a piece of paper on it, which was written, I want you to be with you, you set the pace. Looking back, I feel this was prophetic, as God knows timing is everything. And it wasn't for another year that I really experienced God in a big way. Now, I know many of you here have heard my key story, so apologies for repeating it again. But it is obviously really relevant. So the 21st of June, 2013, the longest day, I get a call from Lisa, outside at the moment, who said another friend, Margaret, who was a dog walker, had been out in Mickle Trafford with 8 dogs when she realised she'd lost her van key. Fortunately, another dog walker had taken the dogs back, but she had to leave the van, and it was going to cost her a lot to replace the key. And Lisa felt that if we retraced the steps of the walk, she'd find the key. However, Lisa was unable to go herself, as she had family over for a birthday tea. So, but she automatically volunteered her husband. Thanks, Kieran. This meant I could go with Margaret. And we trekked over the fields for the best part of an hour with no joy. And then I don't know why, because I hadn't been thinking about God, but I lifted up a prayer to God to find that key. And how important it was, because within a minute, I looked down and I saw the solitary key lying there. I picked it up and I gave it to my friend and thanked God. Now, I truly believe God nudged me at this time and position I was in the field to ask for his help. It says in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find. That is incredibly powerful and vital. I needed to be willing and ask God for his help, and he did. From that point, my faith for the next few months went through the roof. And if you met me during the subsequent couple of months, you wouldn't have escaped hearing the key story. I was definitely in a wired state with more and more examples of God, which strengthened me in my faith. And I thank you, Jeff, for supporting me during this time in something which must have seemed totally strange, especially every time you woke up, I was writing something in my journal, or that was when I wasn't looking something up on the internet at 2 a.m. and emailing you, Rachel. I told you I was a bit wired. A few close friends were worried about me during this time, and I was so grateful for their concern. However, I was aware it would be when I came down from this enormous high that I would need their support. And of course, all things that go up must come down. And true enough, towards the end of the summer, I slowed down. And as winter approached, definitely by January, I felt I was on a downward slide and started doubting myself and my faith. It was during this time that a friend shared a picture she had with me of a fast-flowing waterfall, and she felt this represented my situation. Last summer had been the fast-flowing waters of new discovery and events happening at a lightning pace, and the period I was in now was a strengthening, still period, but it's during this period that God strengthens my faith. This seemed really relevant and supported words that were given to me in a card given to me last summer. Late January, I asked the lady who'd written the card to pray for me, and I know that this was the turning point for me again. Through the power of her prayer, she lifted me from a place of self-doubt I found myself in, and I knew God was at work in me. I guess this illustrated to me that God is there for us at all times, not just when we want to shout it from the rooftops, but also when we're feeling the downs, and he never leaves us. We just have to draw close to him. The end.
Okay, so just before we go into the water, I'm just going to just see how the children are doing with words. Who's got the most words? I'd be quite interested to see what's been the most word used this morning so far. You've got baptism, so that's been used quite a lot. That's good. Anything else? God? Any other words? Water? Any words not been used that were on there? Bible and love haven't been used that much. Okay. So, as I go down into the water, I will read from the Bible. So, Jeanette, do you want to come and join me? Okay, so hopefully you can see what's going on up on there as well, if you're not near enough at the front to see. So what we'd like to do while we're in the water is we're going to pray together. Jeanette's going to pray. We're just going to give a little bit of space if anybody else wants to pray from within the congregation, but if you do that, then you need to really speak up and keep it short, and then I will pray, and then we're going to say a few words, and then we'll baptize Caroline. Okay, so let's pray, shall we?
Father, I thank you for Caroline. I thank you for the very special person that you've made her. I thank you all the good stuff that you've put in her, all the treasure that you've placed in her heart and her soul. And Father, I pray for her today that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on her today, that she will continue to walk with you and that you will root her so that she knows you more and more every day and that she becomes to understand herself as a child of God more and more. Amen.
Father God, thank you that before the start of the world, that you knew Caroline. You knew all the good things you wanted to put in her, and you knew all the good things that you would have for her to do. Father, I just thank you that this is one step along her journey, and Father, I just pray that you'll keep her feet on that path walking with you daily, that she'll continue to fulfil those purposes that you have for her. Amen.
Lord, I've never been to a street party, but that's a cloud of Caroline to me, audacity and welcome. I pray you will bless her with more audacious visions and encourage her convictions. I pray you will enlarge her welcome in prayer. Thank you, Laura. Thank you for the privilege of knowing her. Like her and her family and her friends.
Father, thank you so much for the flowering, blossoming, better wear ladies.
So, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful occasion. We thank you for the work of grace in Caroline's life. And this day, as she goes through the waters of baptism, we pray that you would fill her again with the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, as she comes out of the water, she would continue to follow you, to hear your voice, and to keep stepping out in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what's going to happen now is I'm going to say a few words of questions for Caroline to respond to. Then I will baptize her, and then some words will come up on the screen, which will be a song that Caroline has chosen, and we'll sing that together. Once we've sung that, what we'll need to do is just to move some of these children, just so we can get out, because everybody's going to be a little bit wet. So if just move that through so we can get out quite quickly. And then Dave, who's one of the guys in the church, is going to just finish off our morning and tell you what to do next in terms of drinks and other things. Okay? Okay? Yep. Just come forward a little bit. Then. So, Caroline, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
In obedience to the call of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins and come to be baptized?
I do.
And with the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in service of God wherever he may call you to go?
I do.
Caroline, in confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Sing, oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Sing, oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day.
So my name's David. I'm one of the congregation. I'm a dad. I have loom bands. I have a pretty funky T-shirt on, by all accounts. This might be quite unusual for your normal church. You might have gone to a church with a sort of bigger tower or a spire or something. But this is how we do it. And if you like it, you're more than welcome to join us. And the extravagance, well, we believe in a Jesus who's our Savior. And we believe he's a little bit like this. And if you'd like to read a story in the Bible, I don't know if we've talked about the Bible today. We are a church that actually believes in the Bible and also love. We think the pair of those are important. Don't want anybody leaving thinking we've went to a church where the Bible and love are left out. So there should be quite a lot of dots going there on love. Thanks, guys. Anyway, there is a story in the book of John, which is the fourth book in the New Testament. And Jesus goes to a wedding with his mum. And they run out of ale. Well, it's wine, actually. And his mum says, come on, what do you think you can do about that? And he says, oh, come on, Mum, it's not my time yet. And he goes, come on, just do, what can you do? And so he gets six massive vats, stone vats, that they use for ceremonial washing. And that, they reckon they hold about 20 to 30 gallons each. Gallons, okay, so big. And six of them, as a word with the man upstairs, produces the best quality wine. The Jesus that we believe in loves abundant life and he loves his children. He's not the kind of guy that would be standing outside of a pub and going, look at you drunkards. He'd probably be in there having a little chat with you, you know, while you're still not half cut. He's the kind of God that's just interested in you. He's the kind of Savior that loves his children. So I've got to do a couple of really practical things. So you'll notice that there's a lot of people in the building, and quite a lot of you guys are smaller than me. So if you're in front of that divide and you'd like a cup of tea, you can go out to that door and turn left, and the tea's kind of like there immediately on your right. And juice. Now, if you're behind the divide, yeah, Starbucks isn't that far away, is it? So, no. If you're behind the divide, you go out the double doors and hang a right, and then you get to this little passageway and just shifty past that and the toilets, and there's a big hall over there, and so you can do that. And I should probably pray, shouldn't I? Yeah? Should we all just pray? Okay, let's close our eyes. Or not. Father God, may the light of God be with you. May it light up your pathway. May it bless your week. May you see his favour in your life. Amen. Oh, so that's it, guys. You're free to do whatever you want.
Another once round happy day, Nick.
The greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive.